Welcome to the teaching ministry of Pastor Jay Eberle. Get ready to be empowered through the understanding of God's Word.
This is going to be a little different if you're a visitor. This is a little different than our normal Sunday morning service because I'm going to share some things about that the Lord put on my heart a couple weeks ago in a prayer time about where we're going concerning our next building for our church facility. So if you're a visitor, it's a little different kind of service than normal, but you'll get some things out of the Word in this as we go along. I was interested in seeing how the Lord gave me this. There's things along the line as we share here today that will apply to that you can apply to your life. How many of you know church ought to be something that you can apply to your life? But he showed me a couple weeks ago in this time of Monday morning prayer that I need to share with you as a congregation some of the things that came out of that prayer time. Remember we had in May on Monday mornings for, I think it was 4 weeks in a row, the whole church congregation was invited to come and let's pray about this new building facility. We were getting ready to sign a contract to build, design and get, the preliminary work that needed to be done for our new building. How many of you remember that? Am I turning some rusty gears? And so back there at the beginning of the year, we were going to do that sometime around April or somewhere in there. And I just got a prompting. Spend some time praying. There's some things you haven't got clear yet. Take some time to pray before you do that. And so we did that, and we did it as a corporate, as a body. Those of you that were able to come, we came together on Mondays. Well, and in the process of praying some of those things, praying in some of those sessions, we got some things coming up out of our spirits, and it was a little different direction that we had thought it was going to be, but it was direction nonetheless. And so I've never really shared that much with the congregation of what came out of those prayer times. There was one thing that came out that I just kind of somehow or another sort of grabbed on, and that was don't do anything yet for the rest of this year. And so because of that, I wasn't really paying attention to all the rest of the things that the Lord had said. And so I missed it in an area. I know you've never missed it. Right? Wrong. You just did by saying right. But I missed something that the Lord had said during those times. And I kept getting the prompting, go back and listen to some of those times and those prayer times and then also what I said before and after. And listen to what the Spirit of God was saying during those times of prayer and remind yourself of them. So I went back and I was stunned and amazed. I don't know about you, but you get over in the spirit, you can, and then you get back in your mind. You can forget about some of the things that God showed you in the spirit and miss it. Am I in the right room this morning? So anyway, then the Lord dealt with me here about 2 weeks ago. I'm saying two or 3 weeks ago on Monday morning. We were praying again, and the Lord reminded me about some of that. And he said to me that because you've not shared it with the congregation, there's disunity in the congregation about where we're going about our building. And that's not your fault. That's not an accusation. That's on me because I've not shared further what the Lord has been saying. So don't hear that as an accusation. Tell your neighbor he's not hitting you with a stick. Amen. The Lord's just telling me I got to step up and share what the Lord's been saying. Because I was focused on that don't do anything for the rest of the year part, and I was just kind of putting it off to see what he would say, at the beginning of next year. So anyway, we're going to go ahead and share what the Lord put on our heart in some of those prayer times this morning. Would that be all right? Tell your neighbor it's going to help you in your personal life as well. Amen. I want you to hear this with your spirit and not with your head, because Satan would love to try to enter into what we're going to share this morning and bring confusion and disunity amongst us. And that's not going to happen. Amen. One thing you'll find about walking by faith is that it's a process of depending on the help of the Holy Ghost to show you and give you understanding of what God's trying to say to us. And it's not something that you just get all the direction in one time of prayer and you don't have to pray anymore about it. You got to keep on seeking. Remember, he said, seek and you'll find. Knock and it'll be open. Them that ask, receive. Them that seek, find. Call and I'll answer. So there's things that we've got to keep on calling, seeking for, and understanding. And that's a process. It's a walking by faith, step-by-step process that we have got to walk out. And, some of the things we're going to share, I'm going to make myself a bit vulnerable because you're going to see where I misinterpreted some things. You're going to see where I took what he said and put my own direction on it. Amen. And so, But I would rather be vulnerable and honest, vulnerable and humble before the Lord and correct myself if I'm getting something wrong, you know, than, just be hard-nosed, full of pride, and say, well, if I change something that I said, then I'd look bad, and I don't want to look bad, and so just put my head down and try to plow my way through something that there's no grace on, no anointing on, and no help on, at least not at this point. Maybe, you know, God's getting us ready for some other things, I believe, but that and just struggle and suffer. I've done enough of that in my life. I'm 50 years old now. I've done enough of that for the rest of my life. I don't have to do any more of that in my life. Amen. So I just rather be honest and humble, and so we can be in the plan of God. That's all I care about, is the plan of God. Whether it was my plan, you know, not my plan, whether it makes me look good, bad, well, I don't care. Just give me the plan of God, and let's get her done. What do you say? Amen. So the Lord showed me, because I haven't shared some of these things, there's disunity. How many of you know that all through the book of Acts that there was power, the power of God was manifested whenever there was unity, whenever they were in one accord and one place speaking the same thing? Can I get an amen on that? So what we find then is unity is one of the places, really it's one of the biggest keys in the Bible to the power of God in manifestation. And I want the power of God in manifestation to get us where we're going. And so there's multiplied power in the unity and in agreement. And there's exponential diminishing of power where believers are not believing and saying the same thing. Last year, 2016, the church gave $115,000 towards paying off the church land and $50,000 towards giving towards the seed that we sowed to Pastor Nancy's ministry for some of their work on their buildings. So that's $165,000 giving toward the building funds, or, you know, an offering toward another ministry for a building fund. This year, we've been struggling to raise $50,000. Remember the campaign, $50,000 campaign, pre-construction. And what happened was, it was coming in real good until April, until we got some different direction, and I stopped saying some of the things I was saying, and so forth. So, you know, 165 one year, struggling to get to 50 this year. And I looked at that, and the Lord said, money follows vision. I told you you're going to get some things for your own life. Money follows vision. Amen. You know, people want to fund businesses that can clearly state a vision and state where they're going, what they're going to do, what their technology is going to do, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But if a business can't explain what good their technology is going to do, people don't want to fund, you know, investors don't want to fund that.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Amen. Well, when we got some redirection, I didn't make it plain what the vision was. And so, you know, the giving dropped off. And that's not an accusation against you either. I'm just putting it on myself, to be honest with you. Hello? Amen. Praise the Lord. You can learn some things along this. As you watch me, see, I got to do this publicly. You get to do it privately. And if you mess up, then nobody knows. We just all smile and think you're just the next best thing to slice bread, you know. You are a wing dinger following God, man. You are it. You are all that in a bag of chips. You got it going. But see, I get to do it publicly. But you're learning by watching me, hopefully. Praise the Lord. There's power in unity. There's power in agreement. There's supply that flows toward a united vision and everybody on the same page. And so since I haven't communicated some of the things the Lord is dealing with me about, people are like, well, where are we going? Are we building? Are we going to do what? You know, hey, what? You know, so, well, you know, so we've got to communicate that clearly. Can you say amen? Remember Psalm 133:1, he said, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Then he talks about the ointment that flowed from the top to the bottom where there was unity. And so good and pleasant things dwell where there's unity. How good and how pleasant. I like that, good and pleasant. Hallelujah. And so Ephesians 4 says, and I'm just quickly mentioning some things about unity here because the Lord pointed it out to me. Ephesians 4, 1 through 3, it tells us that we're to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit. And so unity, notice that word endeavoring. Unity is something that we are instructed in the Bible to contend for. You and I are to put forth effort towards unity. Notice it says endeavoring. That means it won't fall on us automatically. There's things we got to do to stay in unity. Amen? So we got to put forth effort. And when we come out of the flow of the world out there, all of us came out of the world, and we're in contact with the world during our jobs, during the week, and so forth. Coming out of that into the church, we tend to bring the flow of disunity that's in the world into the church if ministers don't stand up and do what's necessary to bring unity. Because later in this chapter, in the 13th verse, it says, he set some in the church, and he mentioned the fivefold ministry offices for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith. Ministers are set in the church to bring people into unity. Amen. Unity of what? Unity of faith. All believing the same thing, all saying the same thing. Am I making any sense? And so, that's part of what the ministry is assigned to do. And so that's something that I need to do this morning. But that verse back there, in Ephesians 4, 1 through 3, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit. Say that out loud, endeavoring to keep. That means it's going to require effort. Endeavoring means effort. In your home, it's going to take effort to stay in unity. Children, it's your job to be to put forth effort to be in unity with mom and dad. Mom and dad are the head of the home. The teenagers should have shouted real loud on that. Hallelujah. It doesn't take spirituality to be always bucking authority, resisting direction from people in leadership, like in the home, mom and dad are in leadership. You're not showing your independence. You're not showing your intelligence. You're showing your ignorance. You're showing your life is on a direction for tragedy, is what you're showing. Seek to be united with people that God sets over you. Endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit. Amen. And notice that term keep. In other words, it can be lost. Amen. You and I will have to walk in unity in a local church, for example. Unity in a local church can be lost. Amen. If we don't endeavor to keep it, it can be lost. And if we don't put forth an endeavor to keep it, by default, we'll be in division. Because that's just the absence of unity, that's what's there. Amen? So let's work on unity this morning. What do you say? Praise the Lord. How many of you know in Genesis 11, there's some verses there, 1 through 6, where God made a commentary on even wicked men. Now, these people not even serving God. Wicked men getting in unity to build the Tower of Babel. And he said, they're all saying the same thing. They're all in agreement about it. And he said, nothing, this is God's commentary. He said, nothing they will have imagined will be restrained from them. Think about it. This principle that I'm talking about unity, will even work in the wrong direction, in opposition against God. God said that. Amen. Well, how much more if we do this by the power of God, by the leading of the Spirit? Hallelujah. There'll be nothing we can't do. I said, there'll be nothing we can't do. How many of you know unity is not just our bodies all being in the same place? Unity is of the heart. Unity means we bring our agreement. Unity means the intentions of our heart are the same. The vision that we have is the same. We are like-minded about the direction that the Spirit of God is giving us. And we respond to that direction in the same way. We're all hungry for the plan of God, all from our hearts, and we join ourselves with other people in the body of Christ, and we unite with others, and God places a huge importance on that. And you and I should place a huge importance on that. You and I know we're growing up whenever something bigger than ourselves is important to us. It's no longer just about my bills, my job, my home, my better house, or my. It becomes, what is the plan of God? What has God brought us together for? And what does God want us? What is there that's bigger than me that I can participate in to bring to pass God's plan in the earth? Well, it's already getting good in here this morning. Praise God. So, we're going to talk about some of the things that came out of prayer. Now, like I said, in May we started praying. And go back to Ephesians chapter number 5, and we'll look at some verses we were sharing there in that time of prayer. We based our prayer time on it here in Ephesians 5. Let's see here. Let's go to verse number 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. He'll explain that in a minute here. Not as fools, but as wise. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. You know, there's things you and I can do that are just a waste of time. And it's our job to make sure and not waste a lot of time. And that's what it means by redeeming the time, because the days are evil. The evil that is in this earth will gobble up your time. The tests and trials of being out of the plan of God, and Satan having access to us and just destroying and messing up. You know, I watch people's lives sometimes. They never really become a productive part of the work of God, because there's so much that the devil's getting done in their life that they never get to bringing a supply to the work of God. They spend all their time using all their faith just to overcome in their own personal life. God has something bigger for us. So anyway, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Now look at verse number 17. Wherefore, this is the main verse, especially verse 16 and 17. But verse 17 was the main verse in our prayer time. Be not unwise, he said, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And so we based our prayer time on that. And we put those two verses together. He said, redeeming the time because the days are evil. And then understanding, don't be unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. We put those two verses together. And we said, God, we need to know what your plan is regarding our building. Because, you know, if we start going the wrong direction here, which the Lord said, there's some things you need that I need to explain to you, say to you before you start doing anything. So if we start going the wrong direction here, it's going to cost us a lot of dollars and a lot of time. Find out it was the wrong direction. How many of you know we're not to just make plans and ask God to bless them? We're to find out what His plan is. Plans have been made. God has a home, a place for Spirit of Faith Family Church. He has a plan, and that plan is much better than our plan. And so, so we want to find out His plan. His plan is already blessed. Don't have to pray for it to be blessed. It's already blessed. And I'll tell you this, His plan will work a lot better than your plan or our plan. So that's what we were praying about. We put those verses together and said, we don't want to waste a lot of time, and you know, we want to make sure and redeem the time. So Lord, here we are praying about your plan. How many of you know if God said, don't be unwise, but know what my will is, then you and I in our lives corporately and you and I in our lives individually should make the plan of God a target for our faith and a target for our prayer life. You should be praying about God's plan for your life. The church should be praying about His plan concerning the church. I was blessed. Somebody recently, Miss Ann was visiting, and they say every day they pray over God's plan that we've shared from the pulpit, and they have it all written down. I said, well, thank God. I appreciate that. Amen. I appreciate that. Amen? We should be doing that. We should be believing God. Lord, what is your plan? We want to see it. We want to know. And then give God the opportunity by spending enough time in the Spirit where we're not just trying to figure it out in our head. Give God the opportunity to reveal it. So we'll look at that too. We got to get going here. All right. So, but we made the plan of God concerning our next church facility a target for our prayer life, because we need to know. If He said, don't be unwise, but no, we need to know. So let's find out. Amen. And so we did. You know, there's a lot of success people that they like to read success books. And the success books are a lot of times principles that are scripturally based. And that's the reason they work. But the thing I don't want to do in my life is just pull principles out of the Bible and endeavor to operate them out of my head whenever the Spirit of God is endeavoring me to, He's endeavoring to lead me to do it in a different area than what I am doing it, and miss the plan. You've heard me say, I think maybe I've said it in this setting here, that it would be a terrible thing for me to be climbing the ladder of success, so to speak, only to get to the top and find out my ladder was leaning against the wrong vision. Amen. Thank you for... See, some of these things, it took me years to get a hold of. You need to capture those things for your life. Well, how am I going to get the mind of God concerning the plan? Well, His mind is in you praying in the Spirit. The Bible says in Romans, go over to Romans real quickly. I'm trying to give you pointers along the way. I'm not just here to talk about the vision for the church. I'm here to give you a way to live so you can get the plan of God for your life. It says in Romans 8:26, the Spirit helps our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. That's one of our infirmities. We don't know everything. We don't know what to pray for as we ought. But, thank God, there's a but there. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit, King James says itself, the margin, many Bibles say Himself, makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And what's He having us pray about? He that searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. The Holy Spirit is in you to help you pray out the plan and will of God. Amen. The mind of the Spirit is what He has in mind. The Spirit of God has a plan. We're not to make plans, ask God to bless Him. We're to find the plan He's already made. We walk paths which are prepared ahead of time. Ephesians 2:10 in the Amplified. There are paths, there are provisions, there are directions that God has for all of our individual lives and then corporately as a church, that we are to find out what those plans are. From the foundation of the world, God knew Spirit of Faith Family Church would be in Eastern Iowa in 2017 and come up to a place where they have need of more facilities. And He already planned it all out. Our job is to find that plan. Oh, I'm doing it. I'm preaching myself happy. So we were doing that. Praise the Lord. And so He has a plan. I believe He said He supplies all our need according to His riches and glory. We enumerated some of the needs here at Vision Sunday last, I think maybe it was February, this past February. And He supplies all our needs. I believe there is a genuine need for another facility. And so I'm settled in that. But let's go on here. As we prayed, I just want to share some of the things that came out. As we prayed, some things came up out of our spirits. Now, when I'm talking about prayer, I'm talking about doing that which we just quoted here in Romans 8, getting over into the Spirit, shutting our mind off. Some of you need to learn to do that. You can come to a Holy Ghost church for 15 years and still don't have your mind shut off. Somebody said, am I not supposed to think? No, I didn't say that. You know, the Bible didn't say be transformed by the removing of your mind, but by the renewing of it. And I'm talking about the unrenewed part that just has to noodle everything before you do it. There's a plan that's going to come up out of your spirit, you know, and it's the plan of God. God doesn't talk to your mind. He talks to your spirit. And so we see then that because as we prayed and we were over into the Spirit praying and we got our minds shut off and things would come up. And I'm going to share some of the things that would come up if I can. May I share them? Because things began to stir in our spirit, but it wasn't what we had in mind. Well, obviously, because we had turned our mind off and prayed in the Spirit, and He began to give us what He had in mind. What did He have in mind? That we might know what is the mind of the Spirit. And He doesn't say anything except He heard it from heaven. Heard it from Jesus or God, according to Jesus' statements. So, as we pray, because our prayers are effectual. Amen. Our prayers, God answers. Might not have been according to our plan, but it was an answer. Amen. Praise the Lord. We were looking to the Holy Ghost. And so some things began to stir and some things began to take shape. First thing He began to talk to me about in prayer, He began to talk to me about what my motives were. And you might think that's not, well, you know, you just got our motives right, don't we? Well, when he starts talking to you about it, you have to just lay it all out there. What do we want to do this for? Amen. So I began to examine it, pray that out, say, Lord, you know, I believe it's for the work of God to be furthered here. And so basically, as we prayed, you ought to go get the audio. I don't even know if they're available. I don't know. But you can hear it all get prayed out, that it's all about people. And God was talking to us about that. Praise the Lord. It's not about having the fanciest building in town. Hallelujah. I said it's not about having the fanciest building in town. It's about people. Hallelujah. A church building is just a place where people can gather and receive from God. And that's important to God. The building is important to God, but the building is not His house. We are His house. People are His house. But, right on the other hand, we know that's true, but sometimes people don't realize that, you know, there has to be some natural things in place to fulfill God's purpose. Like, for example, if we didn't have these facilities, we could not meet here. You know, we'd have to meet in houses or something, you know, and that's not big enough for what we're doing here. And we wouldn't have room for the daycare. So there has to be some natural things, and people are getting saved, you know. So there has to be some natural things in place for the purpose of what God is all about, which is people. I said it has to be in place for that to be fulfilled. Hello? Listen to me. Can I just... Okay, I'm going to say it. I got to just shuck the corn a little bit. I said, I'm going to shuck the corn a little bit. There are some people that don't believe that the church building is important. Well, it's not God's house. We understand that. But it ought to be... There are certain things that God has a plan for our congregation to do, and that means we're going to need some natural facilities. We're going to need some natural facilities. I don't believe God's plan is that we stay numerically and so forth where we are. But this building is limiting on that. We've gone through that, remember, on Vision Sunday. We went through how people, pastors know that pretty much 80-20 rule, your facility gets 80% full, and it's going to limit the growth of your church. Amen. Now, you have to do things by the leading of the Spirit, but right on the other hand, there's some natural things you need to know too. So, but anyway, I just want you to think about some things when it comes to God's Word, what He had to say about some of His people. Like, for example, in the book of, let's see here if I can find this, in the book of Isaiah 32, verse number 18, Isaiah 32, verse number 18, in the Amplified, "My people shall dwell in a peaceable habitation, in safe dwellings, and in quiet resting places." Glory. Amen. Whenever God created Adam and Eve, He had a specific place in mind on this planet for them to have their existence. It was a beautiful place. It was an accommodating, it was a peaceful place. It was a restful place. It provided everything they needed. It's called the Garden of Eden. He had a place in mind. He didn't put them in the middle of a desert and say, "There's water about 30 feet down, go ahead and dig down there," or 100 yards or whatever. Hello? In that garden was everything they needed. See, God is that way. He doesn't just have a plan, He has a place. He has a place in mind for each one of His children. He said there in that verse, you ought to quote that if you believe in God for a house, "My people shall dwell in a peaceable habitation, in safe dwellings." See, He's talking about, somebody said, well, He's just talking about a place in the Spirit. No, He said dwellings, safe dwelling. He's talking about not just one, where we can all go to in the secret place of the Most High. He said dwellings, plural, talking about our natural homes. He wants a place for your family where they're safe. He wants a place where it's peaceful, where you enjoy it. I believe that's the kind of God He is. I don't believe He's, I don't really care if you live on the street or wherever you live. No, I believe He has a good place for you to live. Amen. It might not seem like that's very important to some people in some people's mind, but throughout the Bible we see that's true. God told the people of Israel, God's people were Israel, He said, I have a land that I have for you. I want you to go in and possess it. It's a land that has brooks and rivers, and it has iron ore, and it has houses that are already built. If He's not interested in houses, why'd He say that? When you get to know Him, you'll find out it's important to Him where you live. Absolutely. So I believe there's a specific place. God had Canaan's land in mind for the children of Israel. He had the Garden of Eden for Adam and Eve, a peaceable habitation. And His plan is the same for you today, individually. Hallelujah. His plan is the same for you. Tell your neighbor, God has a good place for you to live. Even though sin entered the earth, His desire or His heart has not changed for His people. Hallelujah. There's a specific spot, I believe this with all my heart, a specific spot on the earth, on this physical earth, that He specifically has in mind for you to live. Now, that's different for everybody. Some people, like Miss Teresa just got a new place, and she was telling us about it, and so forth and so on, how she, because she got to build, you know, they were finished, it was a, what do they call that, new construction, and so she was able to finish it out the way she wanted. You know, I like this kind of furniture and this kind of all that stuff, and that's the kind of decor she likes. And so she said, you know, I found this nice furniture spot that you ought to go to, Pastor. So I went to it. Pastor Debbie and I went to the chiropractor one day, and we went to it, and we walked in, and we did one of these, and just looked and walked right back out, because it ain't my style. I mean, the owners were standing there talking to somebody else. They said, "How can we help you?" No, we were just looking. We walked in. We walked right back out. It was beautiful stuff. It's just not our style. How many of you know when you get to your mansion in heaven, and if you didn't, if your whole life, you didn't like ball and claw style furniture or something like that, and your house is full of it? That wouldn't be heaven. He knows you. He knows your style. He knows what you like. So, but see, she likes that. Fine. That's her style. But when it comes to Pastor Debbie and I, give us a timber frame home. You know what I'm talking about? A lot of wood and beams, old logs and stuff. You didn't have to say amen if that's not what you don't like. But see, but there's a specific, what you like is what God wants you to have. I'm taking a little time for this because it's important. I'm going to make some points about it as we go. So I believe He has a place on this earth just for you to enjoy, and enjoyment is part of it. Listen, get over your religious self. Enjoyment is part of it. Well, I don't believe that's important. I believe that's carnal. Well, you believe wrong. I'll give you some verses that prove you believe wrong. God put them in the Garden of Eden back in Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden in the beginning. And the Bible said that He told them, He said there was some trees there that were beautiful to look at. In other words, the only reason some of them were there was just, hey, pretty. Hey, pretty. I like them. In other words, there weren't any fruit on them, no nuts or anything. There wasn't any production of any kind except that's pretty. In other words, it's just there for enjoyment. Are you getting anything out of that? He wants it to be beautiful. Some people are so heavenly minded, they're no earthly good. There's some of you that would not come to Spirit of Faith Family Church if the roof was leaking, the chairs were all torn, and it was cheap, and it wasn't made to look nice. Don't look at me in that I'm holier than that look. You enjoy nice things. And listen, God put that in you. I said God put that in you. Tell your neighbor, pastor's preaching better than you're amening. Praise God. God has provided every one of His people a specific place He has in mind. Whenever He made this earth, He made it for man, and I believe He has a specific place in mind because He knows what you like. He knows you like the woods and the rolling hills, and I got a place in mind for you. You'd really enjoy it. Otherwise, why did Jesus say, "Ask and you shall receive, that your joy might be empty"? No, joyful. You know what joyful is? Listen to me. I got a revelation for you. You know what your joyful is? Your joyful is, I could live here the rest of my life. Amen. That's your joyful. Is where? Don't raise your hand. But is where you're living right now? This service is going to go longer, all right? I'm just warning you ahead of time. Is where you're living right now something you would say, I could live here the rest of my life? Okay, then God's got something better for you. But let me give you a little secret. Some of you ain't going to like it. But see, the next place He has is a place your joy should be full. But I got a little secret for you. There's going to be something happen. There, your faith is going to grow. And you're going to look around one day and you're going to say, this is too small. My joy is not as full as it was. As your faith grows. See, I'm hitting religion, and some of you are going, we're supposed to be spiritual. Yeah, and you don't even know what spiritual is. Amen. Amen. Like I saw a cartoon one, Robin said to Batman, the Bible says not to do that. And Batman said, when was the last time you read the Bible? Anyway, I'm meddling. I've left the Word. I'm meddling. All right, so get back to the Word, Pastor. Get back to the Word. I believe God has a place. I'm saying all that about us individually, but I'm really saying it about Spirit of Faith Family Church. I believe God has a home for this congregation. A place that has been prepared. Somebody's been taking care of it. Somebody's been... Say amen, somebody. He made this earth for man, and He wants every member of His family to enjoy a part of it. And there's a place for Spirit of Faith that's where it's going. Everything we need is there, and we enjoy it there. It's in the right place. It's got the facilities we need, da-da-da-da-da, and it's all under one roof. Come on, somebody. And we like the environment. It encourages... Listen. God put them in a garden because that encourages fellowship. He didn't put them in the middle of an asphalt jungle and said, I'm going to come walk the streets of New York with you every day, Adam, and fellowship with you. No, He put him in a place that was conducive for fellowship. Conducive for fellowship. And you and I, that's who we are. We fellowship. We two fellas in a ship. We like to get together and have us a time in Jesus. And fellowshipping with Him. And that's what that garden was, and that's what God has for us, a place that's conducive. It's an environment that encourages, it's welcoming and encourages fellowship, and He wants the place to be beautiful. He cares about beauty, or else He wouldn't have said, those trees over there, they're just for pretty to look at. So He cares about beauty, as well as practicality. Amen. So praise the Lord. Now the Bible said in Psalm 126, when God restored the people of God back to their homes and their land in Israel out of bondage, Babylonian captivity, He said, they said, we like them that dream. That's what God has for Spirit of Faith Planet Church. This is a dream. This is a dream. Oh, the facilities. This is a dream. Amen. This is a dream. It's scriptural that the place you live in be like a dream. Every time you walk in, you want to go, glory to God, hallelujah, woo-hoo, praise you, Jesus. Amen. I'm taking some time. I know, Pastor, get to the point. I am. We got to lay this foundation. Praise God. And so we see in Psalm 25, 12 and 13, this is the Amplified, who is the man that fears the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way he chooses. He himself shall dwell in prosperity, and his descendants shall inherit the earth. One translation says, rather than dwell in prosperity, lodge in goodness. God has a place for Spirit of Faith Family Church that is a manifestation of his goodness. These facilities have been his goodness taking care of us. But there's some limitations here. Amen? And he's that good to where he'll supply some things that we'll just look around like this is a dream. This is a dream. Amen? Hallelujah. You should use your faith to believe for you and your family to be in a place that is a manifestation of God's goodness. This is his goodness and his favor in our life. He has a church home for us just that way. Isn't that right? Hallelujah. So, our dreams can be fulfilled and our joy can be full. Amen. So, let's talk a little bit about what the Lord has said to us. There's some things that he started talking to about what is our motive, and really it's all about people. But it is important. The facility is important as well. Then he said to me, don't get in a hurry. Remember, we were getting ready to sign that contract. And he said, that was one of the first things that came up out of my spirit. He just said, just hold on. Don't get in a hurry. And so, all right, fine. You know, hey, whatever. I want to be in not only his plan, I want to be in his timing. Don't get in a hurry. Then he said to me, don't do anything further. And this is where I missed it. Don't do anything further with the building contractor, you know, and the contracting for making the master plan for the whole facilities for the rest of this year. So I said, all right, fine, good, you know, because we were getting ready to sign that contract. That's what the $50,000 campaign was for, to raise the funds for that. Fine, good, praise the Lord. Then in prayer, I don't remember which session this was, but it came up out of my spirit. This question came up out of my spirit. I believe it was from the Lord. And then it came like this: when did I tell you to build? And I'm like, well, let's see. And the only thing I could remember was he said, whenever he showed us the land, we own, if you're visitors out here, we own land, the church owns land, 16.32, I believe it's 32 acres, on 13, Mount Vernon Road and 13, and close, real close to the intersection of Mount Vernon Road and 13. And whenever he showed us that property, he said, because I was drawn to it, and the Lord said, the angels are holding it, a church is going to be built here. I said, Lord, are you trying to tell me that we should buy it? And he said, a church will be built there. It's yours for the taking. That's the only thing I could remember about him saying anything about building. A church will be built there, and it's yours for the taking. So the church took it. Praise the Lord. And God was gracious and gave us the money. We paid it off. It's all paid off. So it's actually making money now because the farmer gives the church money to lease that land. Not a lot, but just a little cash flow. So anyway, I, the Lord said, when did I tell you to build? And I'm like, that's the only thing I can remember. He said a church would be built there. I said a church would be built there. I didn't say you were going to build it. Now I'm making myself vulnerable here. You've never put your own interpretation on anything. But I did a double. I'm like, I mean, it's like slapping me with a wet rag. Anybody ever, you know what I'm talking about. Now, he's talking about up until this point. Maybe he will tell us to build there. Steps of faith, you know. Maybe he will. I'm not predicting what he's going to tell us to do. I mean, he had us buy it for something. So, he said, I didn't say you're going to build it there. He said, I said it's yours for the taking. A church would be built there. Okay. I swallowed hard. Praise the Lord. So I said to the Lord, honestly in my heart, I could not say in that time of prayer that the Lord had ever said we were to go ahead and start building. I laid out on Vision Sunday, here's the reasons why we should. So, you know, hey, praise the Lord, let's go for it. But he didn't initiate, I want you to go ahead and start building. Now, like I said, let me make it plain. Maybe he will. All right? So we're just taking this. This is a faith walk. So I began to say to the Lord in that time of prayer, Lord, can we build? Lord, we need to build. Amen. And here are some reasons why. And I laid out those reasons. You know, I gave you those reasons. Remember, there was 5 or 7 reasons on that Vision Sunday. One of them was that this is a limiting facility here. And different ones, like this part of town is not very visible. This part of town, there's, you know, not the best part of town. We'll just leave it at that. And just different things. And we've always known that Lord wants us to have a visible facility. Remember, Jesus said a city set on a hill cannot be hid. He didn't say behind the strip mall, you know. I'm just pleading my case to him. I mean, and this, the main thing is the limiting facilities. So I said, Lord, can we build? I said, we need to build. Here's some reasons why we should. You know, we're smart. We know better than you. I'm saying that in jest, like that's the way we had approached it. Like we know what to do. But see, he didn't tell us to build yet. So he just put it in, and he didn't say anything further. You know, one thing about the Lord, if he's not saying anything and you keep seeking him, it'd be all right to say, Lord, you're not saying anything further. Why are you not saying anything further? You know, you're on talking terms with him. Like I said, this service is going to go a little long, all right? We normally are out by 12, but listen, it'll be fine today. Amen. He hasn't said anything to us about building yet. He just told us to buy the land. So, somebody said, well, we need direction. That's direction. Amen. It might not be the direction we wanted, but it is direction. That's where people miss it in prayer. They're not open to what anything he has to say about what they're praying about. They just go in their mind, already made up, and ask him to bless their plans. And that's why their labor is in vain. Now, I'm just telling you about right now. He hasn't said build right now. I don't know what he's going to say next week. I'm just telling you right now. All right? So we have to be open to anything the Lord says. And if he is saying, Lord, we want to build, we need to build, or anything that you're praying about, and he's not saying anything, and you keep pushing, and you keep asking, and you keep bugging him, so to speak, about something, eventually you'll get something coming up in your heart, something like this. Okay, go ahead then. Somebody said, no, God wouldn't do that. He did it with Israel. He said, no, it's not my will that you have a king. And they said, well, we want a king. It's not my will that you have a king. But we want a king. It's not my will that you have. But we want a king. God said, all right, go ahead. You know, we're free moral agents. We can do what we want. We shouldn't. We call him Lord. We should be seeking him about it. But we can do whatever we want. But so Israel pushed and pushed and pushed. Finally, he said, okay. He said, but here's the trouble you're going to have. And he started enumerating all the trouble they were going to have. And it all came to pass. So you can eventually push, 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 and eventually sense God saying, okay, do what you want. Go do it. But there's a vast difference between permission and commission. I'm not interested in just permission to do something. I want to be commissioned by Jesus to do something. What the difference between permission and commission is, it's the difference between the acceptable and the perfect will of God. Remember, be not conformed to this world, be transformed, that you may know prove the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Some translations say the permissible will of God. You know, you can generally be hitting the plan, but missing it in some areas, and it's going to not work like it should have. And you not get the best God had for. I want the best. I'm just done with the good or acceptable. I want the best. Hallelujah. Are you learning anything this morning? And so you may want to ask him if he's not saying anything. You might want to ask him why he's not saying anything, because you're on talking terms with him. Amen. He might not say what you want to hear, but he'll talk to you. Isn't that right? You remember Nicodemus came to Jesus and he wanted to talk to Jesus about his ministry? We know you're a teacher come from God, so forth, and Jesus changed the subject on him. He wanted to talk about his Jesus' ministry, and Jesus changed, said, you must be born again. Nicodemus wanted to talk to him about something else. Jesus changed the subject. Guess what we're now talking about? We're now talking about what Jesus wants to talk about. And that's why people start out getting unction in prayer, and then they come to a place where God's not saying anything. Listen to me, getting answers this morning. Why is he not saying anything? Because what he already said, we weren't listening to it. He wants to talk about something else. You remember my story? I was praying about years ago buying some furniture, and we needed furniture in our apartment. This is way back at the beginning of our marriage, close to the beginning, and the Lord and we went to the store to figure out what would it cost to buy what we needed and so forth. And finally, I went to, because we didn't have the cash to buy it, and they were going to give us one of their credit cards as easy payments of 23% interest or 28% interest or whatever, you know. Dear Lord. But anyway, so I was praying about that. Lord, should we buy it on credit or just believe you for the cash? And he wasn't saying anything. He just wasn't talking. I prayed 3 days. He wasn't saying anything. I mean, I don't mean solid 3 days, but, you know, over a period of 3 days. And I said, fine. I said, Lord, you're not saying anything to me. I'm going to get this conversation started one way or another. You're on talking terms with him. And he answered me. He said, that's the reason, because you're trying to get me to make a decision that only you can make. Where's your faith? Listen, I believe that's what he's doing with us. He's saying, where's your faith? And he's trying to help us, show us we're not quite ready for what really needs to be built on that land yet. That would be approximately a $4 million project, which is about three times where we are right now as far as our budget. Well, God can do anything, Pastor. It's not according to what he can do. It's according to what we can believe. So I believe he's trying to get us to slow down and get some things prepared. That's really what I was trying to preach this morning. It just hit 12 o'clock and I haven't hit my sermon. Well, so we're going to get there. Tell your neighbor we're going to get there. All right, so he started talking to me. When did I tell you to be? I said, and I could not honestly say. How many of you know you've got to be honest with the Lord? I could not honestly say he had said anything. I just laid out the reasons to the Lord why we should. Can you see what I'm talking about? But you see, whenever God doesn't talk any further and people just want to do their own thing, that's why the unction leaves in prayer. Amen? They're just in their minds. They've already got their minds made up. They're making their plans and they're going to ask God to bless them. But you got to acknowledge what's coming up out of your heart or else it'll be a struggle. Prayer is supposed to be a dialogue, not a monologue. Amen? All right, so that's another thing that came up. Are you getting all these things? So then he began to say to me in one of the prayer times, and here's what I wanted. Oh, Jesus, I spent a little extra time today. Get into this. I believe God has another home for this congregation. None of what I've said so far has the Lord said to me that, no, just stay where you are. He has not said that. Are you still out there? But here's something he did say. And here's the good part. Praise the Lord. He said, and let me go back up and give you the context. I was praying actually by myself. This was in that May month. I was praying by myself about this. This really got on my heart that month. When the Lord said, take May and pray, there's unction on what he says do. So you pray and there's unction. So I really got this on my heart in my own prayer time. And the Lord spoke this to me. He said, I have a blessing for you. And I was praying about the church's next facilities. He wasn't just saying me personally. He's talking about us. I have a blessing for you. I knew in my heart what he was talking about. Sometimes you wonder in your mind, but there's sometimes in your heart you know what he's talking about. He said, I have a blessing to you. And I let that get past me. Amen. Then the very next week when we were in corporate prayer, I had forgotten all about that the Lord had said that. Then the very next week I got in corporate prayer, I got back out of my head and back over in the spirit. See, you got to catch a hold of that in your prayer life. You start, get your mind quiet, and you look down in here. And as soon as I got into the spirit, that's called in the spirit. As soon as I got into the spirit, got my mind quiet, and I got real clear what's coming up out of here, he reminded me of what he had said to me, and I had totally forgot it. He said, I have a blessing for this congregation. And as soon as I got in the spirit, that came back up again. I'm like, oh my goodness, Lord, you said that. I forgot that. You ever let something get past you that he said to you in the spirit? And so I said, Lord, yeah, I remember that. Thank you. Thank you for reminding me. And then he said, I have a blessing for this congregation. And he said, if you go too fast and you get in too much of a hurry, you're going to miss a blessing. I'm starting to just get it clear now. Hello? He's not withholding something from us. He's slowing us down on the timeline. Hello? He's saying, don't go too fast. You're going to miss a blessing. Amen. I don't know if any of you are... This is helping me. That's why he doesn't want to get in a hurry. Because he's working something out. He's working it out. But we got to cooperate with him and pray in the Holy Ghost and pray it out. And so that's what he was talking to us about. Some of you that were in those times of prayer, you were conscious, if you know things of the Spirit, you were conscious of angelic activity. Sometimes it would come out in prayer. We were praying out about angels working in this situation. You know, bringing the will of God to pass. Bringing our home, the next church facility to us. So we were conscious of that, and I believe that's what they were doing while we were praying. They're working things out. Praise the Lord. Then we got over into the Spirit, and as we prayed, and if you have ever prayed in the Spirit, sometimes you're of course, in the Spirit praying in tongues, you're praying out of your spirit in unknown tongue, but then every now in English, and now and then an English word will come up. And whenever that does happen in your prayer time, you should speak out that English word or phrase or whatever. And so we were praying, and up out of my spirit further came... Now that's held in reserve. And my head's gone. And you got to stay out of your head in prayer. Because your head will try to pick up on what's coming out of your spirit. And your head is being... The Bible said when we pray in an unknown tongue, our spirit prayeth, but our understanding is unfruitful. Our head doesn't know what he's talking about. Now that's held in reserve. Now that's held in reserve. Now that's held in reserve. But we're praying about something concerning church facility. Now that's held in reserve. Hallelujah. Somebody said, what's that about? No, let's figure that out. No. See, that's where you miss it, trying to figure it out. Yeah. I illustrate this way. Sometimes you might be praying in the Holy Ghost, and the word June comes up. Well, how are you going to interpret that? Right. Oh, it's the month of June. I know when it's going to happen. You don't know. You don't know that that's what he was... You don't know. You don't know if it was the month of June. You don't know if that's... You're believing for a mate, and that's her name, June. You don't know... If you're warding off an invasion of June bugs, you just don't know. You got to stay out of your head. You're getting some help this morning. But it is interesting now that's held in reserve. Something now is held in reserve. And then I had unction to turn it over to Miss Katie, and she got to praying. Sometimes the anointing will go from person to person to lead the prayer time, and she got to praying. Turned over to her, and amongst other things, she was praying out the plan. And then this came out. It's not being withheld. It's being kept. It's working. The plan is working. It's not being withheld. It's being kept. That jumped out at me. You know, sometimes you get a witness about something. And it just hit me about what he's trying to tell us here. Slow down. You're getting ahead of me. You're making your own plans. Don't go too fast. I have a way I'm going to work this. Can you put all this together now? I have a way I'm going to work this out. I have a place for you. I have a plan. There's something reserved. There's a blessing you're going to miss if you go too fast. I'm not the brightest light in God's chandelier, but I'm getting this. Can anybody say, hallelujah, pastor's getting this? Are you glad we shared all this morning? Is it helping you? See, you can just feel that unity coming back. So something's being held in reserve. There's a blessing that he's got for this congregation. And if we move too fast, we're going to miss it. And if something's being held in reserve, I'm working it out. It's not being withheld. It's being kept. And so when I thought about that, once we were done praying, I thought about that. It's not being withheld. It's being kept. I thought, here's an illustration of what the Lord's saying. Somebody's believing God for a spouse. Maybe we've got some single people here. I'm not talking about married people believing God for a spouse. I'm talking about single people believing. Can we have a little humor while we're going along here? But so let's say somebody's single and they're believing God. They don't want to be single. They want to be married, so they're believing God for a spouse. Well, okay, praise God. I believe I received. Thank you, Lord. Okay, there's a good one. Praise the Lord. I'm going to go after him. And the Lord says, no, that's not them. That's not them. Oh, all right. Okay, well, Lord, who is it? I know they're here today. Come on, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hey, look over here. I'm here. Praise the Lord. Oh, there he is. So over here. Okay. And the Lord says, no, he's not the one. And the Lord keeps on saying, no, they're not the one. No, they're not the one. You know, the Lord is not withholding them from marriage.
That's right. Amen. That's right.
Huh? He's not withholding them from marriage. He's just simply saying, no, there's somebody that I have in mind that will fit just right. It'll be, it will help and assist, and it will accommodate and facilitate the plan just right that I have for your life and their life. And I don't believe there's only one. Don't misunderstand me. But I do believe there are some people that are better options than others. That doesn't mean that somebody else is a bad person. It just means for the plan of God for my life and for where I'm going. See, I told you we get a lot of practical help through this. I'm not being with, because a person could get the idea, Lord, you keep saying, no, they're not the one. Aren't you a good God? Don't you want me to be married? You want me to be an old maid and not have? No, he's not saying no. He's not withholding you from marriage. He's just keeping you for the right one. And everybody that got the right one say, it's worth it, it's worth it, it's worth it. It's worth it. And I believe that's what he's doing with us. Are you getting it? I said, I believe that's what he's doing with us. Hallelujah. And then this is the part I missed when the Lord put it in my heart to go back and listen to some of these recordings. This is the part I missed. It came out of my spirit. I said it right out. Because I said it right out. The Lord said at the end of prayer time, and I was sharing with the people, the Lord said to me, one thing we need to do is keep raising the money because you're going to need it when this blessing hits. I had forgotten that. I think I had said that to the church. But I said it just out of thinking, well, that'd be a practical thing to do. I forgot that the Lord had said. I said the Lord said to me during prayer. I remember it now that I went back and listened to it. He said to me, keep raising those funds because you're going to need it when this blessing hits. Then he said, the Lord said, I said to the people, the Lord said to me in prayer, this congregation needs to be prepared for the rest of this year for what's coming. I miss that. And I guess somebody said, kind of, Pastor, you maybe weren't thinking about it, but you have been preparing us by talking about business and finance and everything. I said, well, yeah, but there's some more things that I see now that I need to prepare this congregation for. Can you give me a few more minutes? If you're going to give me a few more minutes, say, I'll give it to you, Pastor. How many give me five? Okay, well, all those together would be at least 60. Go over to Hebrews 11, verse number 7. It won't take a whole lot longer here. Hebrews 11, verse number 7. It talks about Noah. It says, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet. Let me ask you a question. Now, this is judgment, not the kind of thing we're talking about today. We're talking about, a blessing he has. But have not we been warned ahead of time of things not seen as yet? Did he not warn us? I have a blessing for you. I mean, we think of warning in a negative sense, but in a sense of, I'm telling you now, I'm warning you to get ready because something's coming. Is he not telling us ahead of time of something coming? Noah was warned of God of things not seen as yet, and this is what he did. Notice it starts out by faith. Noah did this. By faith, moved with, we'd say fear, that means reverence for God, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, to the which he condemned the world, by which he condemned the world and became the heir of the righteousness, which is by faith. That's a whole other subject. But what I'm pointing out here is his faith got ready. His faith got ready. And that's what I had missed, that the Lord had said to me for this year, for the rest of this year, prepare this congregation for what's coming. And keep raising that money. You're going to need that for when this blessing hits. Somebody said, is he talking about building? Is he talking about another building? Let me put it this way. I mean, an already standing structure. Let me put it this way. If he tells me clearly, I'll tell you. But let me put this out there. If there is a possibility, there is a step of another facility that's already built before we get to build that building. If he tells me clearly, I'll tell you, okay, that wasn't right. I'm just telling you it's the possibility. The way some of these things are stated, it's almost like it could be another facility first. Could you see that? I have a blessing for this congregation. And he'd been talking to me about I have a home for this congregation. And that almost is a little different than what, you know. But how many of you know, however God wants to do it, that's the best. He knows what's best for us. Hallelujah. But the thing I do know, no question about it, is that he slowed us down and he's saying, I have something in mind for this congregation, and get ready. That much clear as crystal clear water. I know he's saying, I got something for you. Just keep on believing God for the funds. Get some finances in the bank. Be ready. Now listen, I'm saying this out of my mind. I'm getting ready to say something out of my mind. I don't know that this is true, so don't mark it down as gospel truth, you know, and try to canonize it in scripture or something. But if we don't build on that land, which I believe we will, but he didn't tell me I would. If we don't, I'm just saying this out of my head, then we have $300,000 of equity sitting there that we could use towards something. Amen. Paid in cash, thank you very much. Amen. And if we, I'm saying if, I'm talking out of my head, tell your neighbor, he's just talking out of, this is just him talking. Just being smart businessman talking, you know, kind of thing. If we never build there, I'm not saying we won't. I'm just saying if we never did. And we hold it for 10 years and sell it again for $500,000. Thank you very much. Cha-ching, cha-ching. Or maybe we sell it for $1 million because a huge corporation built a building up there. Lord, we're sorry we made $1 million. Look at your neighbor and say, we don't lose anyhow. Yeah, God hasn't led us into any loss. I'm not predicting that's where we're. I'm just simply saying it seems like we need to be open to another facility prior to being there. Who knows? We could get a building for such good cost that we end up selling it to make another million profit. Listen, God's got a blessing for this congregation, and we ain't gonna miss it. Tell your neighbor, we ain't gonna miss it. Hey, some of you are getting some groove now. Come on now. But let me finish by saying some things here about preparing. Would that be all right? Abraham got ready for what God said was coming. Faith always gets ready for what God says is coming. Amen. If Noah, because it took, historians say, between 100, 120 years to build his boat. Somebody said, my goodness. Well, think about it. Wait a minute. You had to cut down all the trees yourself. You had to, you know, cut them in boards or whatever, all to yourself. You had to, you couldn't tell Ham and Seth, his sons, Shem, go down there to hardware and get some nails. Yeah, I mean, okay, nails? You need nails? What are nails? Oh, let's figure that out. Let's make them. Okay, build a fire. Let's build us a blow, whatever you call that thing. That, huh? The forge. Yeah, thank you. And make us some nails. I mean, it took him a while. Besides, he had never built a boat before. And he couldn't get on the internet and find out how. And besides that, what is a flood? What is that? And besides that, okay, how do we seal it? And God told him how to seal it. But see, God told him how to do everything. So it took some time. What I'm saying is it was a process. Notice when the flood came. Let's say it took him 100 years. They say between 100 and 120. Let's say he was halfway through at 50 years and he wasn't ready yet. Did God say, well, y'all are too slow. Bam, I'm going to send the flood. No. The flood didn't come until they were ready. So, God's saying to us, this thing is not going to hit until you get ready. I don't want it to hit and then, oh, where are we going to get the money? We need a down payment for that or something. So, I don't know what we're going to call the fund now, get ready fund or something like that. We'll call it the God's Got a Blessing for This Congregation Fund. Get ready for it. Praise the Lord. So the flood didn't come until he was ready. If he'd have been ready in 50 years, I believe the flood would have come in 50 years. Well, the quicker we get ready, I believe the quicker this thing's going to show up. Tell your neighbor he's prophesying. Praise the Lord. Can you get a shout in you about this morning? Hallelujah. Do you know he holds some things until his people are ready? He told Israel, I want you to go and possess the land, but you're going to drive them out gradually because if you take too much of the land, you can't even patrol the borders of that place. You don't have enough people to occupy all those cities. So the wild animals are going to get in there. Everything's going to grow up. You know, how many of you know if you let a foundation go of a house and a tree starts growing beside it, it'll mess up the foundation. It's going to ruin it. So he's going to let them occupy it, the enemy, occupy it until they got there and could drive them out. And they were ready in faith to possess that area of that territory. That's the way God's doing with us. I believe God's got a blessing. And whenever we get ready, when we get into position, I don't know. Somebody say, how much do we need? I don't know. When he tells me, I'll tell you. But let's just get ready. Let's do this. Let's get ready whole hog. What do I mean? All out ready. Let's pick up the giving to it as if, yeah, there's a blessing coming. We want to be ready for it. We won't stop at 50,000 this year. How's that? Let's just go on and let's just pop the clutch and getting ready. Because I believe it'll be revealed what this thing is whenever we're in position. Because listen, let's say somebody's got a building for us. I'm just waiting on God to see what he's saying. Maybe I'll find out this is totally wrong. But let's say it's another building, an interim building. And let's say that we're going to need, $500,000 down payment. That could be very likely. I don't know if you know anything about buildings or not. It could be very likely. Yes. Well, there's different ways we could do that. But if we can't even possess it at that time, we're not ready. Yes. And it comes on the market, then we miss our blessing. So let's get ready. I said, let's get ready. And that's my sermon. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 God does not want anything to be a hardship. Something comes and God says, that's it, possess it. And we got to pull money from every fund and even pull our gold teeth and put it in the offering. You know, it's like, hey. Listen, if we're led by the Spirit, which this is what God's doing, if we're led by the Spirit, he'll always have us ready. If we walk in the flesh, we won't be ready. Faith stays ready. Sometimes you don't know what you're even getting ready for, but he says, listen, listen, I got something for you. Do this, do this. You're like, well, I don't know why I would do that, but see, something's coming. Something's coming. Paul said, I am ready to preach the gospel to you at Rome. Paul said, you know, I can do all things. King James says, I can do all things. In the Amplified, it says, I'm ready for anything, equal to anything. Why? Because he's led of the Spirit. He's a man of faith. And listen, God's got us in a position of, in a preparation phase. Getting us prepared for something. Praise the Lord. Praise the... Stand with me to your feet. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Someone said, we need direction. This is direction. Get ready. The plan, I believe the revelation of the next thing we need to know will be revealed at the pace we get ready. At the pace, when we're ready for the next revelation about, okay, do this, or there's the building, or what, or build, because he might tell us to build. I'm just saying he hadn't yet.
Yeah. Come on.
I hope I'm making it clear. I trust it's clear. So at the pace we get ready, it will be the pace that he moves. What if God would have sent the flood at 50 years? He'd have said, well, I know you aren't ready, but listen, I'm going to send it anyway. I hope you can do the backstroke for about a year, because... I mean, that's called drowning. And God doesn't want his people drowning because they weren't ready. They didn't get ready financially. I believe this is going to be a smooth, easy transition. Because ahead of time, we're listening to the preparation instructions to be prepared. Hallelujah. 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 Praise you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Father. Father, we agree with the direction that you're giving. We stay in unity. We as a congregation decide to be in one accord, to be in unity. We decide to believe what we hear from the Spirit of God. We decide to walk in it. We decide, Father God, to not miss this blessing. We decide that we're going to have the blessing that you are working out. Lord, you have a blessing for this congregation, and we're not going to get ahead of you. We're going to stay in the plan and stay at the and wait for the revelation of what that is. And in the meantime, just prepare with all our hearts, with all our faith. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lift your hands and give him thanks this morning. If you agree with that, if you are in unity with that, tell him you're in unity with it. Hallelujah. Praise you, Father. We walk in unity, Father. We walk in faith. We walk in the light. We know that it's not being, we're not being, you know, kept from something. Something's being held in reserve. Your plan is what we want. Your plan is best. We don't want the good or acceptable. We want the best. Hallelujah. We give you praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Give God a shout.
If you would like more information about Pastor Jay Eberle's ministry, please visit us on the web at soffc.org or call us at 319-366-2147. Or you can write to us at Spirit of Faith Family Church, Post Office Box 8355, Cedar Rapids, Iowa, 52408. And remember, God loves you, and you're equipped to live victoriously in every area of life.